And now, it's Adam and Joe.
Hello and welcome to the big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between. And then eventually the whole thing will just end.
There you go, that's Great DJ by Ting Tings. And this is Adam Buxton here on the radio. Joe's away this week, listeners. I'm sorry to tell you, he's in America. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's huge. It's a country across the sea, and almost everything exciting comes from there. And it's run by George Bush. So I don't know what else to say about that. He's out there. He's doing, it's very exciting movie business. He asked me not to mention
it. We're not allowed to talk about
it. It's very secret, but I'm going to say anyway.
Are you really?
Yeah.
He's going to kill you.
He's out there. He's working on a remake of Filofax.
Oh, man.
With Jim Belushi. And it's a kind of robot Jim Belushi they're using. It's amazing. And it's never been done before. And Joe's out there. He's the point man on the whole project. He's going to be very upset when he hears that I've blown the gaff. But he'll be back with you next week. And filling in for him... Well, filling in is the wrong word.
I'm filling in his giant shoes.
That is the voice of Garth Jennings, ladies and gentlemen. He's an old friend of myself and Joe's. He's a film director. He's actually got a film coming out very shortly, in fact. That's not the reason he's here. It's just a coincidence.
It is, genuinely.
But we should declare an interest and up front and say that, you know, he's our friend and he also happens to be a film director. I happen to be in his film that's coming out.
That's right. Adam plays a teacher who gets some scissors stuck up his nose.
This is a film called Son of Rambo, which you directed. We'll be talking a bit more about that later on. And indeed, you know, talking to you about other stuff that you've done. You and I have worked together before. We did the Radiohead stuff last year on their webcast.
That's right, that was good.
A few bits and pieces, so we can talk about that. And of course, we've got our usual features. Garth has provided a song for Song Wars this week. We said last week that Song Wars was going to be about family members. We had to write a song featuring a family member. We didn't have to write a song, but just, you know, compose... create some music featuring a family member. I think we'll unveil those in the next sort of half an hour or so. I'm sure they're pretty spectacular. And of course, we've got Text the Nation coming up later on. You're welcome to text us and email us. The email address is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Forward slash. Yeah. Jude, our producer, was...
See, I've already done what my wife told me not to do, which is just... I just keep laughing at the stuff you do, and then I sound ridiculous.
No, that's good, because Joe just sits there. Usually he's very surly, and he just stares at me, never laughs at anything I say, and just makes me feel, you know, inadequate. So
well,
it's nice.
I'm going to try and reel it in a bit.
All right, then.
But you got a funny face.
I do have a ludicrous face, and I shaved my beard off as well this week, so now I can see my ridiculous face again, and it's a great disappointment to all concerned. Anyway, let's play some more music now. This is Daft Punk with Digital Love.
This is the Daft Punk. They with the digital love. They're from France. They're both from France. Yes, that's right.
This is true.
And they like digital love.
Digital love. That would be dangerous, though, wouldn't it? I mean,
it would hurt.
It would hurt. There'd be electrocution.
You'd certainly need to take some kind of precaution there.
And then there's all the viruses to worry about.
Good work. He's already got it.
Oh, I could write for some kind of Frankie Boyle-based panel show.
Anyway, this is Adam and Garth here on BBC Six Music.
It's a stupid name, Garth. It doesn't even sound right.
What's wrong with Garth?
Can you imagine calling a baby Garth?
That's a good point.
It's weird, isn't it? My mum's listening, I know, because she's bought a digital radio just... for this.
Have you
experience.
Asked her why she called you Garth? Is there a special family connection?
No, I think my grandmother's Welsh. Mm. My grandma was pushing for Gareth.
Right.
But she wasn't having that. She took the E out.
It wasn't like her last dying words or anything.
What's
like? What did you say? I think she said Garth.
Yeah, I think it was Garth. No, she's still alive, my mum.
Okay, good.
And although I think I nearly killed her coming out. I was a gigantic baby. That's probably why Garth, actually.
Giant baby. I'm going to call him Garth.
That's because that's how my mum speaks.
That's right. How heavy is she? I mean, How heavy were you?
I can't speak now. I was about 10 pounds, I think.
That's quite giant.
Yeah, that's big.
It's like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
Is she walking all right now? Good, I'm glad to hear that. This is revolting. It's not even 9:15.
Oh, dear. Now, sorry, Mum.
I'm going to be talking to Garth more specifically about his amazing career in the media. He was a, he still is a director of pop videos and dirty commercials and movies and all kinds of exciting things. You know, a quick overview of Garth Jenny's career as part of Hammer and Tongs, the pop video geniuses. They directed the video for Coffee and TV by Blur with the milk carton dancing around. Other well-known Hammer and Tongs videos were the Supergrass one for Pumping on Your Stereo with the
That's
big
true.
Muppets.
The big puppets.
What would you say your other one that you're most proud of would be?
One of the ones that came out at the same sort of time that people liked was for Fatboy Slim. Mm-hmm. And it was for the track Right Here, Right Now. And it was the evolution of man from amoeba to a big fat guy.
Right.
That went down well.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those ones that looked like it must have taken ages and cost a lot of money.
It didn't cost that much money because it was all rubber fish and all the backgrounds were made with Nick, the producer's sister's holiday photos or her trip around the world. So it was, we did an awful lot of shortcuts and actually Nick himself plays the Neanderthal man and the editor's flatmate is the guy at the, you know, toward the end, not the big fat guy.
Yeah.
And
if we're talking about any videos throughout the course of the show that you haven't seen, folks, you can always check them out on YouTube. I imagine they're all up there, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we put a link to our website on the Six Music website as well, and there's a little film gallery there, so you can go and have a look.
And most recently, of course, you did a clip for A Punk.
Yeah.
By Vampire Weekend.
That hot band right now.
So hot right now. And that's got like millions of hits on there.
I can't understand. Well, I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
But it was made cheap as chips, you know, just one afternoon in its one take on a video camera.
Mm.
But it was great fun. And we only did it because we really love the band and their music. And it, 1.5 million hits.
Did YouTube feature that one?
You know, I think they did.
Right, right.
I think they did, and it's amazing what happens when they put you on the front page.
Phenomenal, isn't it?
Pow!
Your life changes!
Yes,
suddenly
exactly.
Suddenly weirdos come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, you get lots
sending
more
you bizarre messages.
What a stupid video, I hate you.
You suck! I'm gonna find you and kill you! For making this video! You suck! The band sucks!
I have one which was great, which was, when the revolution comes, Jennings will be first against the war.
Nice.
Nice! Very Thanks nice. For that, whoever you are.
Well, Mum. We'll be talking more about various bits and bobs that Garth has done in the future. In the future of the show, that is. It's impossible to talk about what he's done in the future. It's just not possible without some kind of time machine.
I can only guess.
Exactly. But right now, here's a track that I've picked for you listeners. And this is Elvis Costello. Are you an Elvis Costello fan, Garth?
Do you know, it was one of my choices. And they dropped my Elvis Costello one for
Costello.
Yours, I think.
Which one
Hello,
did you go
Elvis
for?
Elvis Costello. I was going for I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea.
Oh.
Because that's got the best drums in the world on it.
I think this is from around about the same time, I think. This is early Costello, and
it's
this
all
is
good, though.
This is Hand in Hand. Oh, it's got this long, weird little. There's about 20 seconds of this at the top.
Oh, dear.
But it's good, you know.
People are going to get a bit freaked out by
that. They'll be all right. Calm down. Here comes Elvis.
Still.
Here he comes. Elvis Costello with Hand in Hand. I think that's on this year's Model. I'm just belching, Garth. Can you feel?
Are you okay? Adam's belching and I am filling.
It's good. It's all over now. You handled that well, man.
That was terrible on both of our parts,
You're
really.
You're fine. It's fine.
Okay. I'm going to get good at this at the end. I'm going to be doing that little talking over the end of records.
If you get good at it, then you're out. Okay, there's no getting good on this show. We were just saying that Elvis Costello would be one of the people that you would most like to sing like.
If I could sing like anyone, that would be my man.
Well, he's a good combination. He's got the technique. He's got, like, the chops, the actual vocal skills, you know? He can actually hit the notes.
Yeah.
But he's also got that attitude and that...
And no one else sounds like him.
Yeah, exactly. He's got the character in his voice as well as the technical skill.
And he does, like, high-end shouty noises really well.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to Chelsea.
It's fun singing like him, exactly.
Yeah. I can't do it. That's why I'd like to borrow his voice.
Well, we're playing some Frank Black a bit later on. He's another person that it's fun. It would be great to be able to sing like him, but it's impossible.
I can't.
Now, listen, we're going to do a thing. We've got a thing. Garth thought it would be fun to do a sort of breakfast egg cooking thing.
Well, it's only as a gift, really. I'm new here, and I thought I should provide some kind of, like, little present for you all.
Yeah.
And one of the things I found recently, I've rediscovered the boiled egg, the joys of a perfect boiled egg.
And this is via a celebrity chef. Is that right?
I think it's in one of our cookbooks at home. So I was just I was just cooking them, and they were always coming out either like a sort of liquid or a rock solid horrible thing that you could only make into a sandwich.
Yeah.
And then I discovered, I can't remember who it was now.
Is it Delia or Nigella?
It's probably Delia. Because she did a whole thing with eggs, didn't she? Anyway.
She's a woman.
Anyway, Delia's thing. And I thought what we should do, what you could do, if you really, if you like me, enjoy a nice boiled egg and you want it just perfect, because it's quite nice having that and then it sets you up for the day, then everything's
exactly
great. What I'll do is I'll give you the perfect timings. All you have to do is get a pan of water on, get yourself an egg. Maybe you need to run down the
corner
shop.
What sort of size of egg are we talking here?
Well, I always go large, because why go small? They're not that big anyway.
Well, and the thing was for ages that, you know, for in the 70s, it was all Salman Rushdie writing copy for those adverts saying, go to work on an egg.
Was that Rushdie?
Yeah, Rushdie wrote those.
Oh, man.
And then for a while in the late 80s and the 90s, it was like, don't touch the eggs, they're deadly. The eggs are deadly. You'll die immediately if you eat the eggs.
Well, I think we're safe now.
And now it's okay, I think.
It's all calm.
It's all
down.
Come full circle with the eggs.
Yeah.
So if you want to take part in our perfect egg challenge.
Well, I just thought it would be nice, you know.
That's a good idea, man.
I'll be on the timer. I've got a stopwatch here and I know exactly how to do it. But basically, how long have we got before?
Well, we'll do it in the next half hour.
Yeah,
I think.
If you get yourself a pan of water on.
Yeah.
And an egg. And if you're a kid, you know, make sure you get a bit someone responsible helping you out with that.
Nice.
That was proper DJ
That's
stuff.
Very
there,
good.
Wasn't it?
Me and Joe would never
I
think
just
of that.
Straight in there.
Yeah.
And we'll make it together and it'll be a great start to your day.
That's good, man. This
All
is,
right.
We're going to win some kind of prize for this. This
There's
is
some
classic
BAFTAs.
Radio. Now, here's a trail. Do you like trails, Garth?
Oh, man.
What sort of length of trail is your favourite?
I'm looking here and I'm reckoning a whole 1 minute of trails would really sort me out.
Well, you're insane. We've only got a 30-second one. You're going to have to make do with that, though.
Okay.
But it's a good one.
Okay.
Listen. Yes, I do. I understand exactly what you're saying. Flavor Flav. That was Public Enemy with Rebel Without a Pause. Do you remember the first time you heard that, Garth?
Yeah.
It's quite an exciting moment, wasn't it? And you
well,
thought...
Well, actually, you know what? I don't remember the first time I heard that, but I remember the first time I heard them.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, that's all wrong.
That is all
then
wrong,
I actually
it?
Went to one of their gigs, and that was scary. Genuinely scary, but then brilliant scary.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like having done something really scary and then I survived it, and then you think it was brilliant.
Did they have the guys with the Uzis on stage?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant, but I remember feeling like, oh, I'm out of my indie depth here.
Yeah, yeah. The scary sounds. Now we are, are we gonna play this Frank Black track for the news? Oh, I see. Have you heard this one before?
I don't think so.
It's quite nutty. It sounds a bit like Frank Black doing the Beastie Boys. This is The Sayers by Frank Black Francis, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a peach. Come on.
I like that a lot.
That's The Sayers. Black Francis, this is Adam and Joe with my friend Garth filling in for Joe this week here on BBC Six Music. It's time for the news now, read by Catherine Cracknell. That's T-Rex there. Exciting new band, and that's called 20th Century Boy. Hey, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Joe's away this week. My friend Garth Jennings.
Hello.
Is here. Hello, Garth.
Hello, Adam.
How you doing?
I'm standing in for big old Joe.
Giant Joe.
Giant Joe, but with his tiny feet.
He's got tiny little feet.
Yeah.
How do you, you're almost as tall as Joe, though, aren't you?
No, Joe's about 7 feet tall.
Is he?
I'm 6 foot, and he's about seven.
I thought I was just small.
No, well, you're smallish, he's gigantic.
I know.
He's like Jack the Pumpkin King from Nightmare Before Christmas.
I thought you were going to say Jack the Giant Killer.
Yeah?
No, he is like Jack Skellington.
Jack Skellington.
That's true, he is a little bit like Jack Skellington.
Hi, Jack the Pumpkin King. Sorry, I just had to do it.
You sound like Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood.
I'm Jack the Pumpkin. I've come a long way to be here tonight. This is my son.
H.W.
Later on in the program, I want to do a whole link where we just talk like Daniel Day-Lewis and There Will Be Blood, okay?
That's, I'm really excited about
I've
that.
I've got a couple of clips from the film that I loaded into the machine.
The Bananas film.
So we're going to talk about that later on because you and I have got slightly different takes on that film.
Well, yeah, we'll fight that out later.
Anyway, we've got a little... before we do our egg challenge, listeners, Garth is going to teach you how to cook the perfect boiled egg in just a second,
right? It was Delia Smith, we found out. It was a Delia Smith deal.
Right. We're just going to go through a couple of emails and texts that we've received. Don't forget, of course, if you want to text us, the number is 64046. 64046 for texts. And if you want to email us, it's Adam and Joe. That's all one word, and it's A-N-D, not ampersand, .6music@bbc.co.uk. Now, first off, someone was correcting me. It wasn't Salman Rushdie who wrote Go to Work on an Egg as a piece of ad copy. It was Faye Weldon.
I think it was because you were thinking of Salmonella. And you thought Salman Rushdie, and you put it all together in your tiny brain.
Yeah, that's entirely likely. What famous copy did Salman Rushdie write then?
Naughty But Nice.
Naughty But Nice, cream buns. Because he's filthy-minded. There you go. That's
filthy
why.
Salmon.
Dirty, dirty Salmon. I don't know if he's minded, but... married, but for a long time, he certainly always used to go out with very foxy women, Rushdie.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. That's what the fatwa does for you, doesn't it?
Makes you sexy.
You got a fatwa. Oh, I love men with fatwas. We've got a little...
Oh, dear. You see, this? I knew this would happen.
We've got an email here from someone who says, first off, great to have you guys back on the radio talking silliness. Thanks very much. This is from Adam Richmond in London. And he says, I thought I'd email to share my strange love and obsession with Danny Dyer. We were talking about Danny Dyer last week.
Oh, were you? I missed that one.
And just the fact that he's a humorous person. And I'd love it if you read my homage to his life in film. Oh no, he's just sent me a link to the homage in film. There's no way I can say that on the radio. I can read out the link with all the forward slashes and stuff. I don't think people would be entertained by it though. Anyway, he says that he saw Son of Rambo. That's your film, Garth, in case you've
forgotten. How did he see it?
I don't know.
We've had some press screenings. Maybe he's a media type.
He might be a media type.
Or someone as a tastemaker, they call them.
Right.
They say we've invited some tastemakers.
Is that what you call a buzz screening?
Yeah.
A buzz screening.
That's when you get people who are hip and know other people who are hip.
Or what about if they've had a hip replacement?
Oh, you get lots of those creaking around. Yeah. They need a little more help.
Well, he thought the film was great. And then he says he's got a little anecdote. I want to share my crushingly awkward moment with a celebrity. It was Adam Buxton. I'm Adam Buxton. It was about 2 years ago, and Adam was doing some free shows in a bar in Clerkenwell. They weren't free. You had to pay.
See, that's him sneaking into
just
my film as
in,
well.
Yeah. And he would get surprise celebrity guests along like Simon Pegg and Richard Iowetta. This is a club I sort of do from time to time in a place called the Zeta, a trendy kind of restaurant, hotel, bar place in Clerkenwell. And I do some stand up there every now and again and show my films. And this guy came along and saw one. He said it was the night the DVD kept breaking and Adam didn't look too happy. He rolled with the punches and it was still really good. But by the end of the night, you could tell he wanted to curl up and die. That's just a normal night.
It's
a regular night.
That sounds like a hot night.
As he packed up his gear, me and my slightly inebriated pals tried to engage him in some lighthearted banter. Mm. But Adam wasn't amused. The perceived failure of the evening weighed heavily on him. He wanted nothing to do with us. When I got home, I smashed up my Adam and Joe DVD.
Wow.
And cried myself to sleep. Keep up the good work, Adam.
That's fantastic.
Thanks very much
and
for that,
Adam. It's not easy to smash up a DVD.
No, it takes ages and it's dangerous as well. So don't try it at home, especially not with an Adam and Joe DVD, for goodness sake. Only six people have bought them anyway. Now, after this, start boiling the water, folks. If you want to take part in our Create Your Perfect Boiled Egg
It's going to be so delicious, and you'll thank me for it later.
So get your egg, a large egg, we said.
Yeah.
And obviously make sure it's not a bad egg, and you do that by putting it in the water.
No, don't put it in the water.
Yeah, but I'm saying before you boil the water, you put the egg in the water. If it floats, it's no good.
Really?
If it sinks, it's fine. Okay.
Okay.
That's how you tell if an egg is good or not.
It's a shame none of that rhymes, so it could be a nice, you know, if it.
If someone can think of a way of saying that that rhymes, email in.
Okay.
If it floats, it's no good. Get rid of it, because it's got air in there.
Okay.
It's badness.
But, yeah, so you just need some hot boiling water and an egg now.
Yeah.
And then we're ready to go.
Get the water boiling. After this track by REM, we will start boiling the eggs. REM, that's their new one, Supernatural Super Serious, a title suggested, apparently, by Chris Martin of the Coldplay.
Really?
Apparently it was going to be called something else, maybe a line from the song elsewhere. And Martin, in his kind of cocksure manner, said to Stipe at some celebrity backpacking session.
Yeah.
you're insane. That's a terrible title. You should call it Supernatural Super Serious. And Stipe said, well, I bow to the will of Coldplay.
Oh, you clever, clever man.
So there you go.
I like it.
Strange connection, isn't it? You wouldn't think those guys would be hanging out
together. A great song, though.
It's
I really
good.
Like that.
It's very good. Now, it is time for you guys at home, if you want to take part in this, to create the perfect egg.
Yeah, have a really nice boiled egg to start your day. So if you've got your pan of water boiling away there and you've got your egg ready to go, get a sort of tablespoon, because you're about to lower that egg into the pan. And Adam's going to talk for 1 minute, because I just want to do a first initial boiling for 1 minute.
That
is key to the secret of successful boiled eggs.
And so you should be poised with your utensil to remove the egg.
No, it stays in there.
Oh, it stays in there.
Yeah.
So what happens at the end of the minute?
I'll tell you at the end of the minute.
Oh,
yeah.
See? I'm so excited.
Okay, so you ready, Adam? We're going to put, and folks at home, we're going to put the egg in 5 seconds.
I'm going to give you some, in this minute, I'm going to give you some info from the Canadian Partnership of Consumer Food Safety Education.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some Q&As from their website about eggs and egg safety.
And then I'll just cut in and tell you when to stop at.
Okay.
Okay, folks, so lower your egg into the pan now.
My mom taught me to put hard-boiled eggs taken out of the shell and put in water and add a dash of salt. She never asked me how long for, and she has died. Do you know? Thanks.
That's a question sent on this website. All my regrets to your mother. The hard-boiled eggs should be kept in the refrigerator. Under this condition, they will keep for a week. Question.
When you put eggs in water, how can you tell if they are good or not?
When an egg floats, it means that it is an old egg. We covered that. Another question.
I forgot and left 4 eggs at room temperature in water overnight. Can these be hard-boiled, refrigerated, and eaten? Thank you.
No. Discard the eggs immediately. Once left at room temperature, the danger zone temperature, for more than 2 hours, pathogenic microorganisms will be created and no amount of cooking will be able to kill the bacteria or toxins that have developed in that time.
How are we doing for time? Ready? And okay, now what I want you to do is leave the egg in the pan there, but just turn the heat off. And if you can, just put a lid, find an old pan lid, pop it on top of the saucepan.
Mm-hmm.
See, the heat's off now and you're just covering that pan for a perfect egg.
And we're going to cover it for how long?
Well, am I going to tell them, or am I just going to just say take it off now?
Oh, okay. So you just keep that situation.
I'll let you know.
Right. We're going to play some music, and then when it's time to do something else to the egg,
yeah,
Garth will let you know.
Yeah.
Now, here's it. Did you choose this, Garth?
Oh, yeah. This is Jonathan Richman, Egyptian reggae. It's one of my favorite tracks, and it's also in Son of Rambo. It's one of the great things about making a film. You can put things in that you really love.
And you know what, though? The Dirty Admen have used this for a...
Yeah, I was a bit cross about that, because I thought, this is great. It's not around anymore, and it's so lovely. And then the Weetabix people, wasn't it?
Someone
like that. But anyway, ignore them. It's much better in our film. Yes, it's in Son of Rambo, but I love it, and I'm really happy to be able to play it in full.
It's a smash. Jonathan Richman with Egyptian Reggae. It's after this next track, your eggs are pretty much going to be ready, but don't do anything until we tell you to, okay?
Yeah, stand by, people. Eggs are nearly ready.
Here's Vampire Weekend. Brilliant. Vampire Weekend.
Basically, if you're boiling your egg, get it out now. Get your spoon in there, mm-hmm. Lift it out. Hopefully you thought about getting an egg cup ready. So pop it on your egg cup and it should be perfect. Just that perfect. Oh, that's how you
know what you could do, listener friends, is take a picture of the egg.
Yeah.
You know, once you've got the top of the egg off there, whatever technique you use to do that, take a picture of the consistency of the egg, and we'd very much like to see it. You can text it to us, 640-64046, or you could email it to us, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. You know, it'll be fun for us to see, and we'll put, if we get any good pics there, we'll stick them on the website.
But the main thing is that you enjoy it, and it sorts you out for the rest of the day.
Oh, no, that's not the main thing.
Oh, it is, no.
No, the main thing is the website.
Okay. but I was also, I realised we've sort of missed out the fact that really you needed a bit of toast with that. But people know, people can do things on their own, right?
I don't know.
Maybe they can't.
Well, they're going to be, there's going to be a lot of people stood there with just a boiled egg and soldiers.
And if they start making the toast, the egg is still cooking itself, of course, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We should have said.
I should have said. I should have said it in that 2 minute gap. You were doing all your chat.
This is the kind of thing that can bring the big British castle to its knees.
No mention was made of toast preparations, and I was left with a boiled egg and nothing to dip.
You'll be all right. Oh. I hope you enjoy it. Anyway, that's the egg thing, right?
There you go. That's the egg thing. Yeah, let us know how it went for you. And that was A-Punk with Vampire Weekend. We said before, that's one of the songs that Garth, our guest today, filling in for Joe, Garth Jennings, has directed a video for, which you can see online right now. And it's got millions and millions of hits. I say millions. 1.5 million, which is not too shabby.
That's good for them. And it's brilliant for a video that cost almost nothing.
Right.
And only took a few hours to do. I think we were done by tea time. We shot it on your video camera, actually.
That's right. And what was the process? It was one of the, you played it really, really slow.
Yeah, we re-recorded the song. So it was, this sort of speed.
Right.
And then when you speed it back up to the original speed of the track, mm-hmm. everything's moving really fast. There's nothing genius about that, but it just means you can get an awful lot done in a short amount of time.
So how long did it actually take to film the one shot?
Oh, it's a 2 minute 10 second long song.
Yeah,
and I think it takes about 9.5 minutes to shoot the slow version.
Did you do everything in one day, like choreography and everything?
You
just sort of worked it out.
They turned up about 11,
yeah,
had a cup of coffee. We went through it a few times. They worked out a little routine in the middle with the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was on the snow machine. And then Nick was on moving drums in and out and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that was it, really. We just did it about 5 or 6 times before. I mean, they get very tired on the drums back there. And then that was it.
Right.
And it was finished that day. You know, we could give it to them to take home.
Were they happy with it?
Yeah, they were really happy with
it. What did they like, the vampires?
They're actually very nice. And the lead singer has got incredible, like, star skin.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those people you can't stop looking at. He's got, like, a porcelain face.
Really? Unblemished?
Yeah, he's totally unblemished.
Wow.
They're really good as well.
How old are they then?
15. 6. I don't know. They're very young.
Yeah.
And they've got that thing when you talk to bands individually, mm-hmm. individual members, it's all great. But when you talk to a band on masse.
Yeah.
They tend to be quite
They surly. Go monosyllabic.
Yeah, they all just like look at you and you feel like a real idiot. Especially when you're saying, okay, and this is when the snow machine comes on, and they're looking at you like, right. But then when you get them on their own, they're like, oh, I'm really excited.
I remember you saying Hot Chip were a little surly with you as
No, they weren't surly.
Were they not?
No, they were great.
Yeah.
No, Blur were quite surly.
Oh, Blur.
Well, it wasn't actually Blur. Blur were good, but I think Damon was a bit surly.
Yeah.
But then he was fine afterwards. I think it's really annoying to make videos. Bands really don't genuinely...
They don't really relish the process, do they?
No, I don't blame them, really. It's sort of annoying. You have to get up really early. You're there for ages. We mess about putting the lights up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he got a little bit cross. But then he was happy with the final result.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, the Hot Chip... I love those Hot Chip people.
They're doing so well now.
They're so hot right now.
Yeah. The chips are so hot. These chips are too hot. It's time for a trail now. It says a Radiohead trail. I don't know what this is about. Let's find out.
Oh no.
Oh, here it is.
Six Music.
On Monday, Six Music will be giving away a limited number of tickets to a very special gig. Listen after 4 on Monday afternoon to find out more. Radiohead at the BBC. Six Music.
That's Gnarls with the Barclays and Run. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, the Adam and Joe Show. My friend Garth Jennings is filling in for Joe, who is in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave as well. That's where all the brave people live. We just got a a text in from James, and it says, "Hello, chaps. James from Silver Sun here." That's our name drop sound there. Love the show. Actually, he's written Love Dasho because he's from the hood, apparently.
He always was a hip guy.
He says, "Just eating my egg. Ask Garth how it feels to never have done anything as good as the three videos that he did for us."
I love that band.
Must be a constant source of annoyance to him. You know, I'm not familiar with Silver Sun. What's
the
what's
the
album
to
get?
That's where Nigel Godrich.
That's right.
That was one of his first production things, I think. But Silver Sun were brilliant. We were just big fans of them and approached them in order to, you know, try and sort of do videos for them, and they let us. And they were brilliant because they were up for anything. I think we did. We did one in an art school where they were the life models, and everyone was painting them. Oh, and we did one in a in our kitchen with lots of bugs coming towards them.
What's the best Silver Sun album to get then if you're a beginner?
Oh, what was the first one called? My brain's gone. But just type in Silver Sun on Amazon and get yourself one of those. It's really, really brilliant. Golden Skin was my favourite song they did, and that was the my favourite video we made. It was like a Trisha ripoff.
Okay.
That goes mental. And weirdly enough, I'm pretty sure there's a character in it who plays Wolf Boy, who comes on, he's got a facial hair problem, and I'm pretty sure it's that guy who's the big, who's the big comedian now who's outrageous and wears winkle pickers.
Oh.
With the Bookie Wookie out.
Oh, Russell Brand.
It's Russell Brand, before he was famous.
Oh, in that video.
We dressed him up as a werewolf. I'm pretty sure it's Russell.
In Golden Skin.
She's got golden skin. Yeah.
Hey, that's a good fact.
I think it's a fact.
Fun fact.
Fun fact.
I was imagining, when you said, who's the big guy, I was imagining some big, giant, fat guy. That would be a new type of celebrity, though, a big, fat version of Russell Brand.
Yeah, well, there's a gap in the market there.
Yeah, exactly.
With winkle pickers, but massive.
That would be really, because people are going to get tired of the kind of Jack Skellington thin boy look, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think big, fat version of that goth look is where it is next, probably.
I've just been told that album was just called Silver Sun.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. That's all it needed.
The eponymous debut. We've got another email here on the subject of our eggs. Someone, Bill from Derby in the United Kingdom, is saying, "Hi guys, wrong, wrong, thrice wrong. The secret is that you put the eggs in the water while it's cold. You bring them to the boil and start timing the eggs from when the water starts boiling." He's got exclamation points all over there.
Yeah, he's cross.
Here.
And that's okay. Oh, sorry, you've got a bit more to
He says, "You put your eggs in the boiling water and they crack and strange alien-like ectoplasm starts leaking out. You'll have Delia around ranting and raving at you guys."
Well, I think that's the other way. There's always more than one way to do these things.
More than one way to boil an egg.
Yeah, I just thought we'd go for the more exciting way.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully you're all happy out there eating your nice little egg.
Don't think we've received any pictures of the results yet, but
probably people were just sitting down to enjoy them.
Yeah, but I'd rather they put us first.
Yeah, it's true.
And sent us pictures of the eggs.
Selfish listener.
Selfish listeners. After this next track, which I've chosen for you listeners, we are going to unveil our Song Wars songs for you. Both Garth and I have created Song Wars. Joe has skipped off to America the week that he had to write a Song Wars song, so he's having 4 weeks off Song Wars duties, because we won't do one next week.
He'll regret it when he hears what we've got.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be playing you the results of our efforts after this track. This is Johnny Polonsky. Do you know Johnny Polonsky, Garth?
Is this on... This is probably one of those artists that you've
put it on a compilation. Yeah, yeah. Frank Black produced this years ago, like at the end of the 90s, I think. And his album, Hi, My Name's Johnny, is actually pretty good.
That's a good title.
Yeah. And this is a track from there. Hope you enjoy. This is called Half Mind. Johnny Polonsky there with Half Mind. Nice long sort of coda there at the end. I like a nice long coda.
Yeah.
Do you not?
I like that one.
Hey, this is Adam Buxton. I'm here with Garth Jennings. And this is BBC Six Music. And it's time for...
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
Song Wars, and they're kind of epics today. They're pretty long, these songs. What's yours, a couple of minutes?
2 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah, same, almost exactly the same as mine. And this week, our brief was to create songs, pieces of music featuring family members.
Yeah.
Okay, now we are going to toss a coin for who goes first.
You're really doing this. I always thought you would fake something like that. Okay.
Can't fake anything at the castle, boy. You've not been reading the news for the last year. You get summarily beheaded for even a coin toss fake incident thing. Oh, I didn't...
You've looked at it.
You didn't call it. Okay.
You cheated.
Here you go, Jude, you do it.
You do it. Yeah, okay.
Cool. Are you...
Heads. Heads, I start.
Heads, you start.
Heads.
All right.
Right, we're going to play Garth's first. Now, explain to us what this song is and who's in it.
Well, I should say, first of all, that it's not a song I've written. Oh. I've slightly cheated because I didn't have much time. You know, you guys, you've got all the time in the world. You're sort of lazing around there. I've got the help of my grandma, Joan Rebecca Phoebe Graham, who's 87 now. She only had a birthday a couple of weeks ago. She's from Wales. Mm-hmm. We call her Joni, and she's doing a version of Elton John's I'm Still Standing, and which is kind of appropriate because it's a miracle she's still standing, the amount of cigarettes that woman has smoked in her life. But she belts it out, and we've tried to do it in a sort of swing band kind of style, mm-hmm. all on GarageBand, like you do it.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of 2 minute version of that track. So there's no intro, it's just full on Joni giving it some.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
You could never know. It's like your blood's like winter freezes just like ice, and there's a call on your life that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. And if you think the school could never win, well look at me, I'm coming back again. I've got a taste of love in a simple way, and if you need to know why I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever. Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. Once I never could hope to win, you started down the road, leaving me again. The threats you made were meant to cut me down, and if a love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. Don't you know that I'm still standing, better than I ever did, looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing, after all picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing.
Wow, that's extraordinary stuff there.
That is Joan Graham. All the way from Llanelli.
Aged 87.
87.
Hope she won't mind us saying her age there.
Oh, I think once you get to that age, it's just...
It doesn't matter that
wow,
much.
No. I'm very proud of that.
That's great, man.
She did that in her... recorded it in her front room on my laptop.
Yeah. And was she familiar with the track already?
No, I think she'd heard it before.
Yeah.
She's quite musical. She picks up a tune quite quickly, but it's impossible to sing.
Yeah.
And so she does it in a kind of shouty rant, which works really well, and she really went for it. You can see her there with her Benson and Hedges in one hand and a microphone in the other going, once and ever could hope to win.
Like Elton John himself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Now, here's my track. This one features my dad, or also known as Bad Dad, of course.
Yeah, star.
If listeners ever used to watch the Adam and Joe show, which me and Joe used to do on Channel 4 years ago, 10 years ago, then you would have seen my dad. He was our youth correspondent on there. So
he was always one of the favourites.
Yeah, and he used to review videos as well for us. And I'm just remembering now what he said about the Blur video, about Song 2. Anyway, I won't get sidetracked. He loathed it,
yes.
Basically. But so this is a rap. This is a Bad Dad rap. I won't say any more about it. Let's check it out.
I'm Bad Dad. I am the better dadder. I was mad before. Now you made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder because you borrowed it and failed to give it back.
B-triple-A-D-D-A-D. I'm the head of the mother-loving Buxton family. Children got a problem, they bring it to me. I don't solve it, but I'm fairly sympathetic. I've worked many years at the Sunday Telegraph. They called me travel editor. It really was a laugh. I travelled the world from the north to the south, and it paid for my children's education. Now my children are fully grown. I live on the downs in a house on my own. I drink red wine like Coke you roam, and I listen to a little bit of Wagner. Tidy up the room, fool. Get your hair cut. When are you going to get a decent job? For goodness sake, pass the courvoisier. Yo, 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 yo. Whose yo-yo is this? I watch TV from time to time, but most of what I see is a mother-loving crime. Nigella Lawson, that woman is fine, but Ewan McGregor is appalling. Russell Brand, he's a loathsome creep. Davina McCall, she makes me weep. Simon Sharma, stick him on the heap, and don't get me started on Kavinsky. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge, and I'm carrying quite a lot of veg. Ah ha 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 ha.
I'm bad, Dad. I am the badder, badder. I was mad before. Now you made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, cause you borrowed it and failed to give it back. I'm bad, Dad. I am the badder, badder. I was mad before. Now you made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, cause you borrowed it and failed to give it back.
I dislike Fiona Bruce. It's very difficult to say why.
That's fantastic.
There you go. That's Bad Dad. Oh. And funnily enough, he's almost the same age as your gran.
Yeah.
I think maybe a few years shy, but he's pretty much up there. He's an octogenarian.
Oh, that was wonderful.
That was good, wasn't it? And
laughing my little face off through that.
He wasn't sure about some of the rhythms there. He had different lyrical suggestions. I had to, because we went through it. He wrote some of the stuff himself.
His breath technique is wicked.
It is wicked. Yeah. He is a wicked rapper, man. Yeah. He's well respected as a rapper. Anyway, so those are the two, say again? Vote, yes, you have to vote for which one you, prefer.
Only on email, please.
Only email votes. No text votes?
No, this week.
Not this week. So just email votes for Song Wars. And you can vote right throughout the week by emailing adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. And that means, you can vote even if you're listening to the Listen Again service that we have throughout the week after this live show goes out on Saturday mornings. So that's Song Wars for this week. We'll remind you of those songs later on in the program, but here's some real music for you now. This is Does It Offend You? Yeah, with We Are Rock Stars. That's We Are Rock Stars by Does It Offend You? Yeah. You're listening to BBC Six Music. Hi, I'm Adam Buxton. Who are you?
I'm Garth Jennings. I'm not Joe.
No.
Cornish.
Garth's filling in for Joe. Joe's away this week. He'll be back with you next week, though, listeners, but it's an absolute pleasure to have my old friend Garth.
It's brilliant for me because I get the whole Saturday morning off.
That's right.
And I just sit here drinking tea and listening to your records.
And then later on, what are you doing later on today?
I think it's Horton Hears a Who with
Horton
the kids.
Horton Hears a Who.
Yep.
I'm up for that one.
Yeah.
That sounds good. And then what is it next weekend? It's Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Hey, let's do some emails and stuff here. We've had a few messages come in on the subject of eggs and stuff, but someone sent you a message about your gran.
Yeah, I've got a really good one here from Graham Jilks. It says, morning, guys. Garth cheated in Song Wars. That wasn't his grandmother. It was Marianne Faithfull. I think that's... It is true. It was Marianne Faithfull.
Your grandmother is Marianne Faithfull.
Yes.
We've also got some messages... Some mnemonics for how to tell if your egg is good or not. Here's one from Paul, and it says, if the yolk in the crispy coating is found a-floating, do what me thinks and find one that sinks.
That
underneath he says, rubbish. Thanks, Paul. No, I appreciate that, though. Cheers, Paul. Andy sends one in. Here's my egg rhyme. He says, if it floats, it's time for bins. If it sinks, it's time for dins. Yeah?
Did he write rubbish underneath that as well?
He failed to write rubbish.
No, I don't think that's rubbish.
It's not rubbish.
It's pretty good.
It's rubbish. Andy says, thanks though, Andy. And, yeah. And he says, P.S. I'm convinced that Garth is just Joe putting on a slightly different voice. There's no fooling me. You're just trying to sex up the show by pretending Joe's a big hotshot film director.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be a big hotshot film director in no time. Don't worry. Now, here's a final egg mnemonic. It says, if it floats to the top, your guts may rot. If it sinks to the bottom, they'll be less rotten. They'll be less rotten. They'll be less rotten would have worked just as well.
Yeah.
That's from Tom in Canterbury. Quite good, though, I think, Tom. Cheers for that. And thanks for all those egg mnemonics. Now, it is almost time for the news. Do you enjoy news, Garth? What's your favourite kind of news?
Ooh, I like exciting news.
Do you? I like good news.
Yeah, good news is my favourite, but exciting good news you can't beat.
Right. Well, yeah. Let's see if there's any exciting good news in the news right now, which is read, I believe, by Catherine Cracknell. Question mark and the Mysterians with 96 Tears. It's possible to track that song down fairly easily, but not so easy to find other stuff by Question Mark and the Mysterians.
I wouldn't know. That's very much your kind of thing.
I really love that song, though. That's a smash. I even like the Stranglers version of that song.
It's a brilliant version.
You know, it's not bad. They stay pretty faithful to it. Hey, you're listening to Six Music. My name's Adam Buxton. Joe's away this week. My friend Garth Jennings is filling in for him.
Hello.
Hello. A couple of texts just before we get into Text the Nation. These are texts just about other stuff, mainly about eggs, actually. and other things, though. Axe, A-K-S, writes, hi, Adam and Garth. Can you read out my text? Because Joe never does. Love, Axe.
Well, that was a good one.
That's the main reason people text, I find, is just to say, hi, I'm texting.
What's weird is, like, they do that on the Steve Wright Sunday Love Songs.
Oh, yeah.
Where people leave messages and they say, could you say hello to my wife? Because she's brilliant and I love her very much.
Well, that's a problem.
And they never
message.
Actually do. He never says hello on their behalf, but they don't say it themselves. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
They're always asking Steve to say it. And
the implication is that Steve's saying no.
Yeah. No.
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 Overruled.
Yeah.
What we had a couple of, oh yeah, we've got a nice picture of an egg here. Thanks very much. Who's this from? Tobias? My egg was delicious.
Yeah.
I think this is maybe from Tobias's wife, because it says, my husband was disappointed with the quality of the egg white.
Oh.
Well, that's a little bit, but she was, you know,
there
she
were
was
people
happy.
That were, and I must admit that I'd forgotten that some people have electric cookers.
Right.
I've got the old-fashioned old gas thing, and if you leave your pan on the electric one, it's still pretty hot. Sorry about that, electric people.
But, I mean, they must have got the idea was to kill the heat, so they could have just removed the pan.
Yeah, but I'd said, trust in me.
Oh,
trust
I
in
see.
Me and I will lead you. And
yeah.
They did, and I didn't lead very well.
It's a grotesque mockery of the whole thing you've made. Okay, I think it's time for...
Oh.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's the nation's favourite feature. This must be exciting for you, Garth, to be part of the nation's favourite feature.
This is what it's all about.
This is the feature. It's a brand new kind of innovation in radio. We ask, we talk about a thing, and then we ask you to send us messages about that thing. That's what Text the Nation is basically about. And this is inspired this week by the fact that I had a little brain memory wave about a service that was popular when I was a child, around about 10 years old, so 1981, 82 maybe, and it was called Dial-A-Disc. I don't know if you remember this, listeners, but you would dial 160 on your old BT phone, and you could choose to listen to any chart single that you wanted to down your crappy phone line.
Yes, wow.
In those days, there was no warning before you listened to the song. I think I'm right in saying there was no warning about the cost that would be incurred.
Right.
Because, of course, there was a cost. As far as I was concerned, being a young 10-year-old, having never bought a single from a shop before, and the whole idea was a little scary, going out buying, investing in pop music, what's next, you know? Probably crack. But you would dial 160 and you'd listen to the song and it would be like, oh, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. This is amazing. I want to hear Souvenir by OMD again. So you would listen to that. And Tears for Fears, I remember listening to Mad World over and over again, thinking, this is brilliant. Obviously, I can't buy the single. That would be too scary. I'd have to go to WH Smith's and pay 99p for it. So instead, I'll just listen to it over and over on dial-a-disc till my dad found out. It was about 50p a call. It was something like that. It was really steep. And I don't know if there was a scandal about it or not, but basically loads of children like myself who were just having a laugh. I mean, there was the novelty factor as well, you know, of hearing music down the phone. It seemed incredibly futuristic.
You could have it when you wanted it.
Yeah. It seemed outrageous. So it was a brilliant way of getting kids to pay money for music in those days. And now, of course, with the music industry in turmoil, that's the holy grail. Yeah. That's what everyone's trying to force the kids to do, is part with their money. But how? That's the question. When music is so freely available online and from illegal file sharing sites, do you get the kids to part with their money in a way that is similar in brilliance to dial-a-disc? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what we want you to text in about, listeners. We want your ideas about how the music industry can earn a few quid from the kids. Have you got any ideas there, Garth?
Well, I was thinking you've got to kind of turn music into stuff. Uh-huh. You've got to make it part of something else.
Right.
Like people have got their ringtones now.
Yeah.
And I got given, I think by Joni, actually, mm-hmm. a cake knife.
This is your grandma.
My grandma, yeah. Yes. A cake knife that plays different songs depending on the occasion you're using the cake knife for.
It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, I love my grandma very much, but it was a shocker.
Yeah.
So you could press a birthday one. And I was just thinking, you just have utensils like a bottle opener or something that plays, you know, suitable party hits as you're unscrewing your thing.
That's a good idea.
And then I thought about, like ice cream vans,
mm-hmm.
and instead of them just playing those old weird records that go, that they would just play the hits, and you could go up and buy the hits they were playing.
Well, that would be a nightmare. That you're just trying to sanction vans blaring out music.
Well, but that's what it's like round my way anyway.
Is it?
Yeah, not ice cream vans, but just like the cars going, you know, and you're kind of like getting them anyway. So I figure,
what about
guy could pull over and sell that track.
Exactly. What about going a different route, getting some of those guys with those cars, what about getting them just to sell ice cream?
Yeah, that would be great. And they'd be like, what do you want? And you go, I want an ice cream. I can't hear you.
You're playing with that. So that's a good idea. Here's an idea I had, and I think this is a goer. I mean, I can see this being implemented by the end of the month. Supermarket stereo trolleys.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying that.
Like, you plug in so you get your trolley, right? You, in some branches of Sainsbury's or whatever, you have to put a quid in anyway release the trolley. Then there's another slot to the left of that where you put another quid in and you have access to the music library contained within the handle of your shopping trolley. And then you plug in your own headphones if you're squeamish about using other people's headphones, or you can use one of the headphones provided in the shop. I don't know how you would do that, but you'd plug in your headphones and then you could select from a library of music while you shop. The obvious thing to say against that is, well, you know, what's to stop you bringing your own MP3 player if you want to listen to music? And that's not the point. The whole thing about these goofy music innovations is that it's just the novelty of the thing that gets people to part with their money. When you were phoning into dial-a-disc, you know, you were getting super crappy quality on these songs. There was nothing great about listening to it. It was just fun to listen to it down the phone as opposed to on your stereo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They could also, like, use the fact that you're plugged into headphones and say, hey, how you doing?
Exactly.
Look at the fish today. It's fresh.
That's
sorry
right.
to interrupt your Luther Vandross record, but we've got some salmon that's good.
Exactly. I see you are enjoying hot chip. Have you checked out frozen chips on aisle 5?
Yeah. Awful kind of links to the songs you like.
Exactly.
I'm sure we could come up with those as well, but that's another thing.
You enjoy Duffy? Which, maybe you might be interested in this ketchup. I don't know why Duffy would have
that
anything to do
work,
with ketchup.
But it was no, exactly.
But anyway, you get the idea. So we want to hear your suggestions for new gimmicks the record industry can use to boost their revenue. All right, that's Text the Nation this week. Get texting right now, 64046, or you can email us adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. It's time for some British Sea Power here on BBC Six Music. Express Yourself, that's Charles Wright there with the, what's the name of the whole, oh yeah, the 103rd Street Rhythm Band. What's 103rd Street Rhythm Band? That's Eazy-E's uncle, wasn't it?
Was
it
his uncle? I have no idea. You're the pop guy, you've got to know this stuff.
I think maybe it was his uncle, Charles Wright.
Right.
I'm sure one of our listeners can correct me if I'm wrong. Thanks very much for all your texts and emails for Text the Nation this week. We'll be reading some of those out shortly. We're asking you to text in about how you would revolutionize, well, save the ailing music industry. You know, how are you going to get the kids to part with their dough for music, basically? That's what everyone...
Gimmicks.
That's the Holy Grail.
That's what we need now.
Yeah. Now, Garth. Yeah. My guest this week, we've never had guests. Me and Joe, as long as we've been on the radio, we've never ever had guests. But you are filling in for Joe this week because he's away in America. And as well as being an old friend of ours, you're a film director.
I am.
Well done.
I'm having a go.
Well done.
Giving it a shot.
And you have a film coming out very shortly, do you
not? It comes out on April the 4th.
Right.
Here in the UK. And it's called Son of Rambo.
And Rambo is spelled R-A-M-B-O-W.
Yeah, we put a W on the end just so it wouldn't upset anyone.
And it's just pure coincidence that it's coming out merely a month or something after...
Unbelievable. Well, I started writing this 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And at that time, Rambo was over. And our little film is based on First Blood. When I was a kid, I saw First Blood when I shouldn't have done. I was a bit too young for it. But it blew our minds, my friends and I. And we started making our own home movie versions of First Blood.
Yeah.
And they're fantastically awful and brilliant sort of little home movies. And so we've written a whole movie about two little kids making their sequel to Rambo.
In the early 80s.
Set in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of very sweet, very silly coming of age movie with lots of action and adventure thrown in.
So the premise is sort of autobiographical, but things that happened to them, none of that happened to you though, right?
No, I started off being based on my own experiences, and then I realized I'd had far too good a time and there was no conflict whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we started to, and we wanted to turn it into a proper movie. So yeah, that's what we did. That's why it took so long.
And but you got the film made fairly quickly though, didn't you, in the end?
Yeah, well, it took ages
once
to get the money.
Once you started shooting, yeah.
But then once we got it, it was 40 days to shoot, 4 weeks to cut. And our first screening was a week after we completed the film, which was at the Sundance Film Festival.
Right.
And that was bizarre because, no one had seen it. And the first time anyone saw it was there. And it was an amazing, phenomenal response. So
yeah, because it's a sweet, sort of unassuming film. I hope you don't think I'm kind of damning it
with
faint praise by saying that, you know. But yet there was this overwhelming response in Sundance, wasn't there?
It was nuts.
Yeah.
And no one could have predicted it. We were terrified about showing it, because we'd lost sight of it as well. When you watch a film loads and loads and loads of times, you begin not to sort of feel anything towards it, and you say,
yeah,
oh no, it's not working anymore. So then you put it in front of 1200 people and you're terrified, and then about 10 minutes in, something happens with a tennis ball, you'll see it in a few weeks time, where they got a really big reaction.
Yeah.
And then from then on it was just pew,
you've got them
by the bits. And yeah, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, because it went from this film that no one wanted to finance to a bidding war that night. And by 5 o'clock the next morning, they'd been bidding all through the night. Paramount Vantage bought it.
Yeah.
And we were in a little chalet, and I'd gone to bed thinking this won't happen. And when I woke up, they were still downstairs signing the contract.
It's like Entourage.
It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's genuinely, that is a true story, and we could never have predicted it.
And you had, I remember you saying, was Bono in one of the screenings?
He came to that screening. I don't know Bono.
Yeah.
He just happened to be in Sundance, and he walked past us and then went in and sat down. We're like, what's Bono doing here? He's just around. And suddenly everyone's like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, nice. I did
name.
It. I didn't. It's not my friend. I wasn't really dropping.
I introduced the name drop for you there.
Good. Okay. I feel absolved. But the, yeah. And then afterwards, I was summoned
yeah.
for a little critique, and he loved it. there's things he pointed out, loads of things he loved about it. One of them was the fact that there's a guide dogs for the blind thing, one of those yellow golden retrievers that used to be outside supermarkets. He's like, I'd totally forgotten about those little guide dogs.
You made him sound like a leprechaun.
He said hello. He jumped out of a little
cup. Would you like a Guinness?
Yes, yes. Your lucky charms, you look at you. You're all big there with your face. I'm taking the mickey out of him. He was really genuinely sweet.
And I bet.
We were on such a high because it worked. That was the main thing. We didn't think we were going to sell it, but he was very, very sweet to us.
How fantastic.
Oh, lovely.
So, and the posters are up all around town.
They're starting to go up. They put up big posters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
You're on the culture show next week.
Oh, I think it's next week or something.
I think because the culture show goes out tonight, doesn't it? I think.
No, it's not tonight. It's in a week or two.
I know, but it goes out on Saturdays.
It does. Yes.
So next weekend you'll be on there and you get a grilling from Commode, right?
He had a little go, but I get to kill him.
The bequiffed film lunatic.
He loves Son of Rambo, but he was talking about another film I made which he didn't like quite so much.
There you go. You'll have to watch the Culture Show next weekend to find out about that, a little on-screen spat with Commode.
Mm.
And this is one of the tracks you've chosen for us right now. This is on the soundtrack, is that right, of Son of Rambo?
It is, yeah. It plays out at the end of the film, and although it's kind of a classic, it's one that we just couldn't resist being the ending of our movie.
It's The Cure.
That's a new group. They're called the Rolling Stones.
They're going to be big.
From the phrase, a rolling stone gathers no moss, and they refuse to gather moss. And that's their thing. That's their gimmick. And the lead singer's called Mick Jagger. And they're going to be big, apparently. That one's called Start Me Up. You're listening to Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Joe's away. My friend Garth Jennings is filling in.
Hello there.
And we're going to catch up on some Text the Nation business right now. Here's the jingle.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
And we are asking you to text in ideas to save the music industry. Ways, gimmicks to make the kids part with their cash for music. Have you got anything there, guys?
Well, I've got a good one here. It says pop videos at the bottom of a pint glass in pubs. 10 pence extra. Great for lonely or boring people.
That's a good one.
Christian very bored and lonely in London fields.
See, I think it's a very important thing to link so some of those bad habits with music. You know, we're not saying this is necessarily right. And for example, my idea for having the musical trolleys in supermarkets, in a way you could look at it as being sort of a nightmare because it's cutting people off even more from the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're making money off it and it's saving the record industry, that's the most important thing, I think. So here's another idea that's not necessarily to be encouraged on a moral way. Alco-pop music.
Ooh.
Okay? As well as choosing what flavour of fizzy kid booze you're going to do your binging on, your little weekend binge drinking session, for an extra quid, you can choose what song the bottle plays, right? Yeah. And the bottle has little speakers in the label, right? So it's a slightly thicker label, but they're terrible speakers. I mean, they sound awful, right?
Yep.
So you could barely hear it. I mean, it would be really dreadful, but you listen to Duffy while you're having your Alco Pop coming out through these tinny little speakers. And again, you see, it's the novelty that excites the children.
Yep.
And so while they're getting blasted on the Alco Pops, they can't believe that Duffy's actually coming out of the bottle.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
It would be amazing. And
a bottle of Duffy.
Exactly.
Isn't that a Homer Simpson drink?
That's right. Duffy beer.
Duff. Yeah. Sweet Duffy.
Delicious Duffy.
Here's another one from Matt. Matt says, how about trainers with MP3s? If you can add wheels, lights, and the ability to inflate, then why not MP3s?
True.
It'll be annoying, but so are most things these days.
Well, it'd be good because then you could walk in time with it. You could have, like, Ultravox Vienna.
That's right.
You could have a great walk. Like, doo-dum, boom, boom, boom. And you could style your walk to that, like really good, or really good stompy tracks.
That's right.
If you're going, we're going up the hill, we've got to go up the hill, folks. We'll need a fast track.
Daft Punk.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That would annoy anyone.
Message here from Jamie R. He says, my brother has a toothbrush that plays Queen's We Will Rock You, powered by the kinetic energy of the toothbrushing process. It's exactly the right length for a healthy brush, which is excellent. I think this idea could be implemented in a number of other bathroom products, such as combs or toilet paper. Good thinking on the toilet paper there. The extractor fan could play music to drown out the horrible sound of its whirring suck, making the bathroom time relaxing again. Many thanks for your time. You're welcome, Jamie. Thanks for your message. There's loads of things you could do in the bathroom, certainly. I mean, the Japanese have a thing because they're so embarrassed by toilet sounds that the sound of a toilet flushing plays out like Muzak in many Japanese public toilets. But, you know, they're missing a trick. Surely they could just have music.
Yeah.
Just, don't you think?
Just a bit louder. Yeah, exactly.
Actual music to cover the sound.
Or you could just have the sound of someone making those noises you make to cover it yourself.
Oh, I see. Not like...
No, no, because you're trying to hide that. So you sort of, or the actual sound of things going on, where you sort of go, you know, so you could just have that play.
All recorded.
All recorded. Yeah, just save you doing it.
That's demented. Ali in Sussex says, ooh, here's another one. She writes ooh at the beginning. That's why I read that out. Ooh, another one. Wardrobes that play music to get you in the mood for whatever you're dressing for.
Oh.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
So you're getting, you know, Saturday night, you're getting changed.
Well, that is Saturday Night by Wakefield, isn't it?
Right. So that would be one of your options, you know, and you load up the track, whatever's appropriate to where you're going. If you're going to some, you know, young person's goth club.
Yeah.
Young person's goth club.
Yep.
Then you can put your music in
or
there.
A wedding or a funeral. You could have anything.
That's right.
I've got to put my clothes on, but I don't want to feel happy about this.
That's right.
Something dour.
Stick on a little bit of Radiohead there or some early Cure.
Mm.
That'll get you in the mood for wherever you're going. That's a very good idea. Thanks for that, Ali in Sussex. Keep those ideas coming in for Text the Nation. We want to save the record industry and your gimmicks will help do that. After this next track, I think we should do the whole link as Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood.
Okay.
Okay, but right now here's Black Keys with Strange Times. That's the Black Keys with Strange Times. I was thinking if we do the whole link as Daniel Day-Lewis, people will go mental.
Yeah.
We should explain that we were talking about There Will Be Blood, the Paul Thomas Anderson film that won all them Oscars. And Garth saw it a while back. I only just saw it, and I was really knocked out by it.
I wasn't against it.
Yeah.
I just have never seen anything quite so bananas.
I mean,
I didn't know
nuts.
What was going on toward the end there.
Yeah. It's extraordinary. My thesis is that it's a comedy.
Yeah, but I think you've got it wrong. I don't think they were going for comedy there.
Do you not?
No. I think it's called There Will Be Blood because it's pretty damn
serious. No, I don't believe you.
It's not like diddly-diddly-diddly.
No, it's not like Benny Hill, but it's very funny. I mean, I'm sure it's intentionally funny. And he gives an amazing performance, Daniel Day-Lewis. No question about it. He deserves his statue.
This is why I found it so confusing, because everything was amazing about it, but I just didn't... I was thinking, who's the guy with the thing then? Who's the brother? And then, why is he doing that?
Yeah.
Why is he hurting that man?
He's got a twin. You what?
Yeah.
We're not giving anything away, by the way, if you haven't seen it. But it is an amazing performance. I mean, whether you like Paul Thomas Anderson or not or whatever, you got to see it. I mean, boy. And there are moments that I cannot believe that they were not going for something comedic. And the last line of the film, which I won't give away, but there's an extraordinary scene, amazingly climactic scene in this film. And then
don't give it away.
No, I can't. Yeah. Can I? But it's funny. It's a funny line, and I think it's played for laughs. And I think a lot of the lines there are played for laughs. I'm sure. Do you not reckon?
What about our favourite lines there?
I've loaded a few of our favourite lines into the computer.
Because this is it. Even though I thought it was bananas, I cannot stop thinking about him and trying to impersonate him.
Yeah.
Because he's so strange.
Yeah, how do you do? You basically talk like this, don't you? I mean, he's
American.
I've come
a long way to be here tonight with my son... H.W.
It's almost like Agent Smith from The Matrix, you know?
Yes, you have to take a big breath before you start talking. That's the key, I think.
Yeah.
Start with that.
There's a great scene towards the end where he's trying to explain the process of drilling for oil and nicking the oil from someone else's kind of plot.
Yeah.
You know? And he starts talking about the milkshake. Imagine you have a milkshake. I have a straw, and I put my straw way over here, and I drink your milkshake. Let's hear him actually doing it.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
I drink it up.
I love that.
I drink it up. He's like that all the way through.
And he's shaking with rage as he's saying it. I drink your milkshake.
I'd like a t-shirt with that on it.
I think they're going for that in America because it's become a catchphrase over there.
I'm sure.
The Paramount guys put out flyers with I drink your milkshake. And then when you open it up, it says I drink it all up. And there was a voucher. I'm not kidding you. There was a voucher for the smoothies at the local. I'm not kidding. This is a genuine publicity thing. Because people were just running around going, I drink your
milkshake. Yeah. I drink it up.
You could see that happening in cafeterias and at schools.
Yeah,
and
canteens. Exactly.
What are you doing?
I'm drinking your milkshake. I'm drinking your milkshake, you boy.
Then, of course, the scene that they show on all the TV programs and all the award ceremonies is certainly it's an amazing scene. It's when Daniel Day-Lewis's character, Daniel Plainview, is being humiliated in church by this preacher man that he's trying to negotiate with to drill for oil on the land that he owns. And in return for the right to be able to drill, he has to basically say whatever this preacher man makes him say, even though he's not a religious person, you know. And so he's basically made to say all these dreadful things, including, I've abandoned my boy! Yeah. Say it louder. I've abandoned my boy! And he ends up just yelling it. I've abandoned my boy! Let's have a quick listen to that clip.
I've abandoned my child!
Oh, yeah.
I've abandoned my boy!
My boy!
It's a good scene, though.
That one's not played for laughs. I mean, no. I reckon the milkshake one is, definitely.
Do you know what, though? In that scene, I think there is a laugh toward the end where it feels like he's kind of spun it back to his own way.
Yes, yes.
It's like, I've said it now I'm coming for you.
That's
right,
you know
what I mean?
Yes.
It's kind of quite funny.
Let me get out of here!
I'm done now.
I'm done now!
Oh, it's amazing. And then there's a very chilling scene as well when he is having a meeting with this a big oil company who want to buy his operation off him. Ooh. And he's basically saying, I won't, there's no way I'm going to sell to you. And he eventually just starts randomly threatening this guy because he thinks that he's being insulted by this bloke. This guy is casting aspersions on the way he's raised his child.
Well, doesn't he just say, hey, Daniel, you know, if we give you this will buy this off you, you'll have loads of money for your family.
Exactly.
And then that just sets him off.
Yeah, because he's feeling guilty about the fact that he's
abandoned his boy.
and then it culminates with him just threatening this guy. We got a clip of that.
One night I'm going to come to you inside of your house, wherever you're sleeping, and I'm going to cut your throat.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely little nugget.
And the guy says, well, what did you say? It's a brilliant scene because the guy responds in a way that you really would in that situation. You know, it's not all kind of lyrical. His responses are just like, wait, what are you saying? What are you talking about?
Hang on a sec, yeah. It's mental.
You've got to see that film.
It is worth seeing, but I still think bonkers.
I mean, it's nuts. But the thing is, with Oscar films, sometimes you go and see them and you think, I've never been so bored in my life.
Oh, no, you won't be bored.
You will not be bored. I mean, it is just fantastic. Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead as well provides this extraordinarily unsettling score.
Yeah, because for loads of time, there's not actually anything happening.
Yeah.
And it's going...
But it's exciting, though. I mean, I was never bored for a second.
No, but that's what I mean. You're sort of thinking, oh, my, it's like music that someone's going to die soon, and then they don't. And you've been on the edge of your seat for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But it's fun. I defy you not to spend quite a long time
talking like Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'd like my egg properly boiled.
What are we watching? I don't like this program on television. Turn it over. I want to watch Saturday Night Takeaway with Anton Deck. I love Anton Deck. I drink their milkshake. I drink it up.
Anyway, highly recommended. Here's a track that I've chosen for you, listeners. This is an old one from the Cocteau Twins. You remember this one, Garth?
Oh, I bought this on cassette single.
This is from one of their most successful albums, Heaven or Las Vegas, and it's called Ice Blink Luck. That's the Caesars with Jerk It Out. That was recorded for Six Music for a special session at Maida Vale on the 17th of April 2003, back in the good old days. You're listening to BBC Six Music. I'm Adam Buxton. Who are you?
I'm Garth Jennings. I'm not Joe.
No, you're not Joe. You're filling in for Joe. He's away at the moment in Los Angeles. He'll be back next week. Don't forget, of course, folks, if you're a fan of the show, if you've missed anything, you can always listen again online. You go to the BBC Six Music website and you'll find... It's fairly simple, isn't it? You just sort of type in Adam and Joe, listen again, and you'll find it like that. Or, of course, you can always listen to our excellent podcast. I got in a bit of trouble because we did an interview for Broadcast Magazine. It's a sort of industry mag, talking about the fact that Joe and myself might be doing some new podcasts or kind of an, or maybe an album even for iTunes of new spoken word stuff. Anyway, in the course of that, I sort of said how much I enjoyed doing specially recorded sessions, non-live sessions, and then editing down the stuff. I said, you know, sometimes it's a more enjoyable process than doing the live podcast. You maybe get better stuff. Anyway, it came out all wrong, and the way it was written up in Broadcast made it look as if I was dissing the...
You were saying, I hate doing this show.
No, I hate basically saying, oh, I hate the BBC podcasts. What we do would be much better, and that's not the case at all, listeners. Our podcasts are great, and we hope you're downloading them and enjoying them, and we very much appreciate all the hard work that goes into creating them that's done by our team here, Jude, our producer, and Claire. So, for goodness sake, you know, don't, if you read Broadcast, don't.
All of you. All of six
Stop
or
it.
Seven.
Put it down. People. No, it's nice of Broadcast to, you know, be talking about what we're doing, but
yeah,
loving the podcasts and don't think any different. So check them out right now. It's time for the news, ladies and gentlemen, read by Catherine Cracknell.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs, so check it out.
Yes, that's right. It's Song Wars time, and this week our songs feature members of our family. Garth has recorded a version of I'm Still Standing by Elton John, featuring his gran.
Joni.
Joni,
yes.
Yeah. And I have done a song with my dad, Nigel Buxton, a.k.a. Bad Dad, which is a kind of rap. And they're sort of longer than usual, so let's just get on and play them. You went first last time, so I'll go first this time. This is my Bad Dad rap.
I'm Bad Dad. I am the better better. I was mad before. Now you've made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, because you borrowed it and failed to give it back. B-triple-A-D-D-A-D, I'm the head of the mother-loving Buxton family. Children got a problem, they bring it to me. I don't solve it, but I'm fairly sympathetic. I've worked many years at the Sunday Telegraph. They called me travel editor, it really was a laugh. I travelled the world, from the north to the south, and it paid for my children's education. Now my children are fully grown. I live on the downs in a house on my own. I drink red wine like Coke you roam. And I listen to a little bit of Wagner.
Tidy up the room, fool. Get your hair cut. When are you going to get a decent job? For goodness sake, pass the courvoisier. Yo, 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 yo. Whose yo-yo is this?
I watch TV from time to time, but most of what I see is a mother-loving crime. Nigella Lawson, that woman is fine, but Ewan McGregor is appalling. Russell Brand, he's a loathsome creep. Davina McCall, she makes me weep. Simon Sharma, stick him on the heat, and don't get me started on Kapinski. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the hedge, and I'm carrying quite a lot of veg. Ah ha 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 ha. I'm Bad Dad, I am the better dad. I was mad before, now you made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, cause you borrowed it and failed to give it back. I'm Bad Dad, I am the better dad. I was mad before, now you made me even madder. There's a hole in the roof, and I haven't got my ladder, cause you borrowed it and failed to give it back.
I dislike Fiona Bruce. It's very difficult to say why.
I think that is fantastic.
He explained to me about Fiona Bruce afterwards, and his problem with Fiona Bruce is that he thinks she acts out the news too much. He likes his news to be delivered more dispassionately, you know?
And I can understand
that. She throws herself into all the stories too much for my dad. So now let's listen to yours, Garth.
Okay. Should I explain it?
Yeah, quick.
Okay, this is Joni, my grandma, and I didn't have time to really write a song, so really, you're kind of the winner by default.
Well done.
But I've got to give credit to my grandma here, because she does a belting version of I'm Still Standing by Elton John. Let's hear that.
You could never know what it's like. Your blood's like winter, freezes just like ice. And there's a cold, lonely light that shines from you. You wind up like the wreck you hide behind that mask you use. Could never win. Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I've got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know why I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing, better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor, I never could hope to win. You started down the road, leaving me again. The threats you made were meant to cut me down. And if a laugh was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. Don't you know that I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind.
That's Joni. Joni Graham, my grandma.
Joni Mitchell. That's great. I'm still standing. That's Garth's tune there. You can vote only by email this week for Song Wars. No text votes, please, for Song Wars. They won't be counted, and you may lose your money, and there's no way that you'll ever get it back. And we won't be held responsible. So please, only email votes for Text the Nation. No, for Song Wars this week. Email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Vote either for Bad Dad or Joni.
Joni.
Okay.
Come on, Joni.
We are going to conclude Text the Nation after this next track. But here's Elbow for you with The Bones of You.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation time. Before that, you heard Elbow with The Bones of You. Now, we've got a lot of text to get through here. Thank you very much to everybody who's emailed us and texted today. Sorry if I didn't read out your message as usual. Joe's usually on top of the emails and texts. He does a pretty good job there.
Are you saying I should have been doing that?
Well, no, there's no way that you could have done.
It's a mountain of paper that keeps coming in here.
Absolutely. It's all recycled, though. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
we're not killing the planet with your texts and emails. Here's one from Jefferson in London. This is on the subject, of course, of ways, gimmicks that the record industry can use to get money out of people for music. How about a microwave that plays pop songs while you're waiting for your microchips to cook? Most meals take about 3 minutes, which is the same time as most pop songs. I'm surprised no one's invented this already.
That's a good one.
It's a good little bit of thinking there, Jefferson, because especially, you know, while they turn around, that is a genius idea, and you could buy little chips, it could update.
Yeah, and you could have songs that fit certain lengths of cooking.
That's right.
For so, like, song two is a good 2 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's for quick stuff, like you're reheating your porridge or something.
Exactly.
A little reheat song.
But then if you've got a baked potato there, you can have a bit of prog.
Yeah, you could have, like, Paranoid Android.
Yeah.
And then your whole lasagna is ready.
Or some Orbital.
Ooh.
Which would be nice as well while you're watching
the potato turning around.
Rotating, exactly. Yeah,
that's a good music video.
The Rotato. That is a good idea.
Just watching something turn around.
Do you carry a little notebook around for jotting these ideas down in?
I should. I do carry a notebook around, but I don't come up with that. I haven't come up with many ideas.
Stick that one in the notebook.
That's going in.
Come on, the microwave.
Rotating food.
Because it's always good to have a little one-shot idea that you can do for no money.
Yeah, that's always... Yeah, have them in the bank.
Exactly.
Nice.
That's all I've ever done. right. Here's one from Derek in Lancaster. Musical bubblegum. Yeah, and he is, funnily enough, I had a similar idea. I was thinking musical chewing gum, and he hasn't quite worked out the logistics, neither have I, but basically the chewing releases a chemical that picks up certain radio frequencies, right, that play the selected singles into your head. I mean, this is a ridiculous idea, in a way.
But you could have it so that it's a special chemical that actually allows you, for a minute, to sing like that person.
Well, that would be better.
It alters, uses the DNA of the original singer, and it drips down into your throat, alters your throat.
Yes.
And then you can sing like a guy that you like.
You can say, I'm going to drink your milkshake.
You know, like helium, that's what I'm thinking of. You know when you get a balloon and you go, and it changes your voice for a little bit.
Yeah.
You could chewing gum that changes you to sound like Elvis Costello.
Well, in Mission Impossible 3, they have the little voice-changing thing, don't they? When Tom Cruise dresses up as Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, be your favourite record.
That's right. Thanks very much for that one, Derek in Lancaster. Jonathan in Leeds says, hi, Joe and the other bloke.
That's me.
That's a little bit rude there, Jonathan. He's Garth.
And you're not Joe.
How about using Pelican Crossings, he says. I actually had this idea as well. Instead of the beep, beep, beep when the lights change, you could play a tune, right? Cost a nominal fee to cross the road. Yeah. You know, maybe you're playing Eric, he calls him Eric Claptrap, Crossroads or Walk, Don't Walk for from Rat Trap. Ha, 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 he says. Or, of course, you can have Walk This Way by Run DMC. That would be good while you're crossing the road. Here's a good idea from Axe. Music idea. Books that play music as you read them. Yeah. Like a film soundtrack. And it encourages reading as well. That's a good idea.
We've got to encourage people to read.
Exactly. Because reading's really good.
Because now Harry Potter's finished, no one's reading anymore.
Is that true? Yeah.
I don't know. People
are
saying
that. People are depressed, aren't they? Yep. They're seeking counselling because there's a big Potter-shaped hole in their lives.
Yep. But they're doing a good thing. They're splitting up the last book into two films. So they're stretching it out for us.
Oh, my
That's
Lord.
That's a good idea.
How many films have we got to go then from
17,
Potter?
I think. There's less
17 or 18. 18. Excellent. Yeah. Here's one from Geraldine. I'm not going to get through all these, man.
No.
Here's one from Geraldine. I was in so much... She was talking about the whole thing of dial-a-disc, which sparked off this whole thing. We've got a clip from the original dial-a-disc, what it used to sound like when you would phone up this thing. And this must be from the late 70s, because they're talking about the band Middle of the Road there. Have a listen.
Available 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. daily and all day Sunday.
It's very muddy.
Two records will be played on Sundays, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. Monday.
Ah, the comforting sound of the 70s.
Tweedledee Tweedledum by Middle of the Road.
Won't be selecting that. Wow, there you go. That's what it sounded like when you used to phone up. And that was kind of the most streetwise voice that you could acceptably have on a public service like that, I think.
That would have been exciting if you were a kid, though.
In them days, yes, absolutely. Well, Geraldine says, I was in so much trouble with my dad for excessive teenage phone use that my dad put a special lock on the phone dial. Yeah, you could get those, couldn't you? Because I was constantly doing dial-a-disc, and my abiding memory was dancing around the phone in the hall to The Tide Is High by Blondie at least 20 times. Thanks very much for that, Geraldine. Now, we might have a couple more of these just before we say goodbye, but right now, here's the final of our free choices, this one from Garth.
Oh, yeah. This is I Just Can't Get Enough by Depeche Mode, and it's from the soundtrack of Son of Rambo.
Remind us again when Rambo comes out.
Son of Rambo comes out April the 4th, and you must go because I think you'll enjoy it. And you'll see this song being used in a really rather peculiar way in a sixth form common room.
That's right.
When everyone's getting a bit nuts on space dust.
And I'm one of the teachers in the actual teachers' common room, of course.
Yep.
Blink and you'll miss me. Not there for very long,
You're
but long enough.
It.
Yeah, you can see it's me.
Go and see it, folks. It's
under a heavy beard.
And have a listen to this.
This is Depeche Mode. The mighty Depeche Mode. I think they were never as good again, surely.
This was my favourite. This is the best stuff.
I mean, it's hard to beat that, whatever band you are, really. And that's featured, of course, in Son of Rambo.
Yeah. I'm so excited about that.
Go and see it.
Finally. Yes.
Thanks very much to Tom Rogers for sending through that clip of dial-a-disc that we played there before. Really appreciate that, Tom. And thanks very much to everybody who texted and emailed us today. We had loads of texts and emails, and I'm very sorry if I didn't read out yours, but we really do appreciate it. We got loads of good ones, especially for Text the Nation. And don't forget, of course, that you can listen again to this show throughout the week. And you can download the podcast as well throughout the week, but you have to be quick because it vanishes at the end of the week. And next Sunday, it will be replaced by podcast number 9. Okay.
Number 9.
The best thing is just to subscribe and then they flop into your box.
Plap. That's the sound they make as they flop, basically.
Yeah. Flop. Every week automatically. Liz Kershaw is coming up. Thank you so much to my guest presenter, Garth Jennings.
Thank you for having me. It's been brilliant fun.
And Joe will be back with you next week. Have a good week. Take care. I love you. Bye.